Hey everyone, welcome to another Direct Connect with Archer here. We're fantastically happy about having Mr. Joe Baxter with us today, one of our former auditor friends back in the day. And we just wanted to chit chat with Joe today and just kind of talk about how things are going in the energy sector, critical infrastructure, whatever it is that we want to talk about. But keeping that cybersecurity thought up at the very top of our conversation here. But hey Joe, it's been a while since we've talked. I think the last time we were at a particular utility when we were face to face and
right
and dealing with some challenges with compliance elements. But I think we were on both different sides of the fence at that time. I was consulting and you were still doing the auditor thing.
Well, we were kind of consulting. Let's go ahead and just, we were kind of consulting.
Well, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what I hope that, you know, as we mature our compliance and we'll just pick on NERC-SIP for a moment here. But as we mature, we're not just picking on people of, you know, checking the box kind of things. We're actually helping them. And, you know, that's, I think over the years, we got really caught up in let's find violations versus helping be better at security.
Exactly.
And I know that's why I like consulting. I moved into the consulting world because I can help utilities better than I could as an auditor. You have that opportunity to really just, you know, kind of discuss those critical conversations that you can't as an auditor because you can't audit what you fix, right?
Well, let's face it. The audit job is very easy because all you do is have to find things that are wrong. You don't have to fix them. You just have to say you did that incorrectly. And so that makes the job very easy and very straightforward. So
and very frustrating for utilities. And I think we found that over the years that we just really had that it was hard. You know, we kept on coming back to the same utilities and seeing the same problems over and over and over. And I think, you know, more consultants out there like you and myself and others that have been former auditors have that unique perspective where we can just really kind of say, okay, this is what the auditors want to see. You know, if you just had done this, you would have been through. But, you know, I could digress and we could talk forever about, you know, the beginnings of compliance in the electric sector. But really, you know, one of the things I'm interested in is your kind of your perspective, Joe, about these you know, what do we need to do next? I know we have SIP 15 coming. That's to deal with network monitoring, kind of an internal monitoring gap that I think we've all recognized since the very beginning. But kind of what your thoughts are about where we're going, you know, how are we improving utility security?
Well, it's interesting. You bring up NERC-SIP, and I have spent, I think, since 2008 was when I joined as a, when I wrote my first SIP cybersecurity program for the entity that I worked for. And I was audited on that program with the first 13 that went live after that. And so I've been in the SIP realm and I consulted for a short while. I audited at CERC. I left and went to ABB for a number of years, but primarily dealing with SIP in the transmission space because those were all, you know, the mediums were going live during that span of time. And then I went to NERC for, you know, 3 or 4 years, however long that was. And I've spent most of my OT cybersecurity career in the electrical space. And now that I've branched out with my current company into other areas, when we see like water and oil and gas and just things like that, just manufacturing, you see how OT as a in across the board has somewhat the other areas of critical infrastructure, and I'm going to try to put this kindly. I'm sure there'll be people that argue with it, but as kindly as I can say it, the other areas of OT cybersecurity have lagged behind the electrical sector because they have not been forced to come up to the same level as the electrical sector. And when I was in the IT space, when I came from banking to electrical in 2008, I looked at the SIP standards and I found them to be laughable. I was like, oh, this is silly. This is such a low bar. How can this even be called cybersecurity? Ha, ha, ha. But then I realized, you know, if you have 1,000 little OT assets in one facility, and you have to change the password on all of those. That's a huge lift. And I said the other day at on a conference I was on, you know, it's fun to spend $30,000 on the fastest, best, most sexy firewall you can find. And it's not fun to go change passwords on 1,000 assets. But which one actually gives you the most bang for the buck cybersecurity-wise? And so I see all these other industries and all those sectors lagging behind where SIP has been and all of the pangs that SIP has gone through to get where the electrical sector is right now. And I say this like, you know, the really the next step is to bring everybody up to level.
No, you're absolutely right. And I was saying that the other day that, you know, even though, you know, the SIP requirements are really a low bar from a pure good security practice, in the electric sector, at least has something that mandates it. And it has definitely elevated utility security. It's been a long time, but it's elevated it. Right. And now it's maturing, right? We're getting these new standards, the SIP 15 coming in. That's maturity. But we left all these other critical infrastructures to their own devices. I know we have TSA for oil and gas, but it kind of stalled right now. It's kind of where it's at.
It's so minimal. It's such a small part of, you know, just surface pipelines.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not even getting into the real OT space where, you know, you really need to do that. And then water and wastewater, you know, they had the EPA mandates coming down the pipe. And then I believe some senator or some congressman stepped in and said, hold on, let's slow that down. And it's like, oh, goodness sakes, we were finally going to get water and wastewater up to speed. But I kind of understand from their perspective, you know, if you look at water and wastewater, they're small. There's so many, you know, one or two IT/OT guys, maybe one guy's playing both hats.
Right.
And we're going to dump these requirements on them. That might be overwhelming, but you got to start someplace.
Well, and that was the same objection of the NERC SIP standards. If you remember, you know, 2005 and, you know, that era, that's exactly what we were saying in the electrical sector. How, you know, I've got a full-time job. I've got real work to do.
Real work, yep. I don't know how many times I've heard that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's undeniable that, you know, you put a compliance umbrella over top of something that you should be doing anyway, adds burden. And that's a lot of what I've talked to when I'm talking to these other industries that don't have mandatory requirements. I say, hey, why don't you do some of it already? You know, start doing it before being told, because once you're told, then the burden of proof is on you. Right. And that is a significant amount of effort that they just don't understand. I mean, unless you live it, you don't know it. Right. And I think that's what their challenges are going to be for these small organizations. But I am happy to see that a lot of businesses are starting to adopt security as part of their risk management portfolio. It's almost impossible not to anymore, but you know, even there, you know, they don't know where to start. They don't know exactly where to get their information. What do they do with these risks? Right. And, there is so much in the critical infrastructure space, in the ICS world, the manufacturing and such, that they're just learning right now, you know, how do they take advantage of everything that the NERC electric sector has gone through. And I think that's where I would love to see some more sharing of the electric sector to the other sectors to say, hey, this is what has helped us be better. And I don't know if anyone's doing that. Have you heard of anything like that?
No, just the things that I have seen over the years. You know, when I was at ABB, a lot of the Middle Eastern countries would say, we don't have a standard, just use NERC SIP for any project you quote to us. And so a lot of the, you know, the fax facilities and the HVDC facilities that we would place in the Middle East would be, you know, under NERC SIP, kind of an NERC SIP-like control structure. Several South American countries, I'm sure you're aware of, have adopted NERC SIP. So we see that in the electrical sector expanding, and that's good. I think the NERC SIP standards have come to a maturity level that, you know, they could be adopted in a much wider, you know, more like a NIST or something like that. I mean, I'm not trying to make that a proposal. I'm just saying that, you know, I could see where you could take that and genericize it a little bit and expand it. But what I don't see really is, you know, we thought that water was going to go down that route. Mm-hmm. And I was just speaking at a Water Isaac actually yesterday, come to think of it. And we talked a little bit about that, that there's just not really a firm regulation. And as much as people hate regulation, regulation does hold your feet to the fire. And if you're not going to do it yourself, then somebody's from the outside going to come and do it for you. And yes, NERC SIP started out as an inch deep, but it was a mile wide. It got everything. It didn't let you pick and choose. You know, maybe the scope wasn't exactly right, and which is why they brought in the bright line and then later the impact rating criteria, you know, the artist formerly known as. But the, you know, so they rescoped it. But, you know, now it's 1.5 inches deep and a mile wide, but it is getting better versus this pick and choose. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to make sure that I've got the Purdue model. Well, the Purdue model is nothing but a logical, abstraction if you don't hang any meat on it. Exactly. There's, you know, if you're not doing anything between those layers or inside those layers, it's like, great, yeah, you've got a pretty diagram, but it's gotten you absolutely nothing. And you've spent 3 years trying to adopt your network to look a certain way. It's like you're changing clothes, but you're not dealing with the problem underneath. You're putting a new bedspread on the broken bed.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that surprises me is that a lot of, you know, technologists that need budget to do these things and want to do these things are the ones that are arguing against the regulation, and they should be promoting it because that's going to help them get their budgets.
It's a bitter pill to swallow, but you're probably right. Well, okay. So at a former large corporation, that was one of the things that I told particularly folks from other countries. If you label part of this project cybersecurity, if you put the title cybersecurity on that part of the budget for this project proposal, it will get cut. It will go. If you call it compliance, it can be the exact same thing, but the minute you call it compliance, it will never get cut.
Yep.
So if you want to get your budget through, you don't say it's cybersecurity, you say it's compliance.
That's unfortunate.
And because there's some weight there.
Well, I know, you know, talking to executives, you know, and I talked to many of them, the word cybersecurity sounds luxury to them. They still don't fully understand how that translates to business enablement.
Right. And oh, they want it. They just don't want to pay for it.
Exactly. They want it. Please just do it. And I guess that comes down to just understanding what security means to them, because the definition of security can mean different things to different people. Sometimes I think most executives think of it as, oh, I'm buying Cisco firewalls. You just want more technology. You want more technology, when it's really more about discipline and processes. That discipline and processes takes people, not technology. And you can buy all the technology in the world. We've said this many times. And, you know, it's not going to work unless you have humans managing them.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's the story.
So you mentioned, you know, sharing, and I was trying to go down this road and I totally lost my train of thought. But one of the things that never happens, just so you know, it's not the first
never,
time ever.
Never. This is the first time we've recorded it. So we can play it back for you.
But the, you know, in the banking world, you know, we started talking about vendor management in the SIP world. I mean, in 5 minutes, I came up with a dozen financial-oriented vendor management programs that were freely downloadable. You know, spreadsheets, databases, methodologies, policies, templates, all kinds of stuff that were very mature because banks have been doing this for a while. Because the FFIEC, you know, the different auditors of the FFIEC, you know, require this type of stuff. There's an entire book dedicated to vendor, essentially vendor and contractor management. Just like, why can't we? Do we have to blaze a trail through the Amazon with a machete when there's a superhighway 10 feet to our left? You know, do we really have to do it all ourselves?
Yeah, and we tend to do that. Even with, you know, in the electric sector, when they're building those NERC standards, they claim it's NIST-based, but you know that we're making some stuff up. Right. Thinking that we're a little bit unique, and we are unique. We're definitely unique, but security's not all that unique. And I think there's a great opportunity to, you know, continue to leverage things that are already available out there. What's good? I remember the early days. I was saying, why are we creating this wasn't that early. This was during SIP 13 development. Why are we creating SIP 13 in the electric sector by itself when supply chain is really a bigger problem. It should be elevated higher. I don't know where that would sit, but it certainly shouldn't just sit in the electric sector. And I think that's what's made that particular compliance requirements very difficult for utilities. It's just become a paper trail, as far as I can see. I don't think we're doing anything supply chain security that's making a real difference right now.
Well, how many of the conferences that you've been to in the last, say, 3 years have, you know, like, I mean, the last one I was at, it seemed like half of the talks had to do with supply chain.
Yep.
In some fashion.
Some fashion.
Yeah, at least 50%, if not more.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a big push before COVID happened through, it's called the U.S. Resilience Council or Committee. I can't remember their name, but they were bringing, you know, the big hitters in there. You know, Microsoft, we had Cisco, we had all these, and it was part of the DOE funded exercise, and it was going the right way. It was going, okay, right. Now we're looking at this from a critical infrastructure perspective. We're not looking at an electric sector issue. And that would have been a great, they came out with some fantastic processes and recommendations on how to manage it. Instead, we didn't adopt that. That was great money spent. Instead, we've created something else. And that something else isn't working. But that's part of maturing. I get it. Yep. You know, we come out with one standard. You know, okay, that didn't work. Let's fix it. Hopefully we fix them in the right way, not the wrong way. But and that's going to be for any regulation that happens. And that's probably something, that's a story that NERC can tell to other infrastructure sectors is look, this is going to be painful. And we're not going to be right the first time out the door. We're going to have to make modifications along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay. So I remember the transition. I started auditing in CERC at the end of version 2. So I was there at the transition between version 2 to version 3. And I remember at those days, even in version 3, we were still looking at the stupid mismatch between SIP 2 and SIP 5, dealing with the routable in SIP 2 versus communications in SIP 5. And it's just like, guys, please, somebody, send somebody from your entity to a meeting at least once. Go to a NERC meeting. This was avoidable. You didn't have to. I mean, we don't want to write this violation. You don't want us to write this violation. Exactly. Nobody wants this violation. You could have avoided it very easily, but you just weren't participating. You didn't get the information ahead of time. It's like, they've got the answers to the test. Just go get it.
You know, that's probably a great segue to ending this conversation, Joe, is that, you know, utilities, if you're listening to this, get involved.
Absolutely.
You can make a difference. I've been there. Joe's been there. They will listen. You have a voice, and your voice matters. Your vote matters. And for other critical infrastructures listening to this, make sure you're asking for help in the development of your programs. If you're coming up, you know, TSA should be really engaged with oil and gas. Same with the EPA. They should be really engaged with water and wastewater. And I think that'll really play things out.
And reach out to your peers. I mean, it's in the electrical sector with the connected grid. You definitely know who your neighbors are. Water, it may not be as close. And the other ones, maybe you don't have that peer level group. But reach out to your peers. Find other organizations. I mean, yeah, you're not going to deliver to them, you know, proprietary secrets of doing business. But you can have a spirit of what I call co-opetition, where, hey, we're all trying to avoid the bad guys, and we're all trying to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, just before we leave, Joe, a little plug about your company you're working for right now.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have shown up without it. No, I'm just kidding. BlastWave is a cybersecurity access control company. What we're doing is actually zero trust, in some regards, software-defined networking. Our primary product does network cloaking and micro segmentation without re-architecting networks. So we're almost solely in the OT space. You don't have to change IP addresses. You don't have to disrupt your production to be able to implement our product, to be able to provide better segmentation all the way down to micro segmentation Obviously, secure remote access, that's kind of part and parcel, but most importantly, network cloaking. So if you've got unpatchable vulnerabilities that, you know, old software, old assets that you don't have any type of way to remediate anything on, then you hide it behind a Blast Shield gateway and really significantly reduce your risks.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. That's, you know, a lot of utilities are always looking for compensating measures in that case. So sounds like a great solution. So, hey, everyone, give Joe a call. Thanks, Joe, for participating. I really love our conversations, and we got to do more of this.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
All right. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Not only is Direct Connect available to listen to, you can also watch each episode on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@ArcherU. If you're interested in who we are and what we do, you can head on over to our website at archerint.com. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Archer International on Facebook, Archer Energy Solutions LLC on LinkedIn, and @ArcherSEC on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and check back every other week for brand new episodes of Direct Connect.